Cape Talk.
Cape Talk. The Open Line.
Call 021-446-0567.
Coming up for 27 minutes to 12 o'clock, the final 27 minutes of the show. Your calls are important to us. 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567. The lines are open. Don't have any interviews planned. I leave it all up to you. Like Lewin in, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. Lewin Balhar, good morning.
Yes. Morning, Lester. It's Lewin.
But Lewin, my parents wanted to be funny,
so I'm used to both spellings. I've embraced all pronunciations of my.
my name was going to be Dorian, which I kind of like, but yeah. At the very last, my parents changed their name. Look, I like having the thought of being named after a literary figure, the picture of Dorian Gray. So, yes, you would have been speaking to the Morning Review with Dorian Kivett. I don't know if it has the same ring to it.
It would have been quite, but that would have given sort of like an umbrella term for that other part of you, that great, that artistic, creative part that comes out when you quote Langston Hughes and all those people.
Play your cards right, I'll recite Harlem Sweeties for you. But anyway, you want to talk about the Mbekiers?
Yes, man, I first didn't want to because coming in now was a negative slant again about him, you know, because there were a lot of pluses, but I'm going back to the electricity issue and that white paper that came out, and they just ignored, either because of our ideological differences with them and the private sector and so on. They were waiting and twiddling their thumbs, and we lost 10 years.
We forget that load shedding started in the Mbeki years. Remember, I think the first real incident was Alec Irwin, who was Thabo Mbeki's Minister of Public Enterprise, and the bolt in the reactor story at Coburg.
Yes. So it happened in that era. And, it's contribution to what's going on, what we're experiencing now. Like Mark was saying, it kind of set the table for these things. And I don't even want to go into the AIDS denialism story.
Let's talk. What's your thoughts?
Because the
thing is, it's so you could have two thoughts or multiple thoughts and ideas, even opinions at the very same time.
Yes.
Let me use an opposite example. Jacob Zuma's legacy in South Africa is a president that paid attention to the HIV/AIDS crisis. Under Jacob Zuma, under his presidency, we saw to the world's largest public access to ARVs. That is an all-round positive legacy in that respect.
Yes.
Overall, would I trust Jacob Zuma? Nope. So we can have contesting opinions and even legacies in our head and opinions of a person at the very same time.
Well, that's true, and even Jacob's ex, because it's Anna Tlamini Zuma. I mean, although she bulldozed she was kind of a bulldozer when she was Minister of Health, but she proud it with an old Sarafina 2 debacle, with her and Olive Sisana, who was the Director General at the time. But I mean, at least they prioritized AIDS.
Yeah.
Again, so they again, like exactly like you say, you know, two sides of the coin. So one could paint a very dark picture, but I think in terms of Mbeki, perhaps there were a few more positives, but yeah, the negatives were quite stark.
Yes.
Let
me ask you about your most positive or hopeful period. And I say, and I repeat, mine was sort of towards the end of my high school to 97. Something happened in 2007, and that is when Thabo Mbeki was removed as ANC president, and then there was Kgalema Motlanthe, and then it sort of reached the high 2010, and after 2010, my despondency has reached like all-time levels. But there was a period of hopefulness for me, and Mark sort of diagnosed that. I was a young black professional making a move up, you know, corporate in South Africa and media. The opportunities were there. I am in part a beneficiary of affirmative action as well in certain sects, and I provide the space for me to become a middle class South African who pays my taxes, who largely now can opt out of public systems like policing and health, because I can apply for private security and medical.
Yeah.
So that was a very hopeful period for me. When was yours?
I think it was at the chance when I put my ballot into the ballot box. That was for me was when I was most hopeful, even though, you know, behind the scenes a lot was happening. There were a lot of compromises made where the left at the time were told, you know, just sort of be a bit silent there. We need, you know, we've this whole rainbow thing that they were pushing. And I thought, yes, this is making a lot of compromises here. They're getting away with murder, that kind of thing. Those were my thoughts at the time. And I'm talking about early 90s. And then into elections, I was very, very hopeful. For, you know, when we put our, on the 27th of April, 94. Yeah, when it got to 99, after Madiba's term, we first and last, I could see some cracks forming. You know, where the dangers of nationalism that we experience under apartheid was starting to creep in. There was a very Africanist lobby that was coming through strongly. And it played out in the Western Cape, specifically with the issues with Ibrahim Rasool and all that. You know, not African enough, those kinds of things.
Because then you had the two ANC camps. Yeah, in the Western Cape. ANC largely failing at what's called the national question and never resolved, particularly.
Exactly. And yeah, those cracks were starting to show in 99 already.
And then it manifests itself in 2021 when we have local government elections and people withdraw to either language-based, cultural, even nationalistic lobbies.
Yes.
And that's how it manifests itself in our body politic. Lou and Bahar, really appreciate the conversation. Keep the conversation going. 021-446-0567. We have nothing planned, no interviews planned. It's all about your calls. Lester, you're about to become a lower class citizen. Not lower class, lower income citizen with all this inflation. What a mess. Yes, people who consider themselves comfortable are definitely feeling the pinch. But let's think about the working class as well. If we're feeling the pinch, as I'm feeling the pinch as a person of a relatively decent income in South Africa. Well, not relatively decent. If the statistics were to be put on black and white, we shouldn't be ashamed to say that you'd probably be in the top 10%, if not 1% of South Africa, not based on how much you earn, but how little some of your fellow South Africans earn. But the lines are open. Let's keep it going. 021-446-0567.
Cape Talk. WhatsApp Lester.
072-567-1567.
Voice notes. We have a few. Let's have a listen. Johannes?
Hi, Lester. It's Rabbi Gorman here from Cape Town. A little known fact is that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was one of the greatest Jewish saints in the last century, actually singled out South Africa for blessing. And he said that South Africa will be good until Mashiach, the Messiah, comes, and even better afterwards. So we're very hopeful. My parents actually moved from the States in the 70s when everyone was making, you know, was emigrating. They moved here to build Jewish communities. So we're very hopeful. And I think that the best days of South Africa are ahead of us.
Who said Jacob Zuma said ANC will govern till Jesus returns? Well, he returned to Cape Town and Joburg and Tshwane and who else? And we'll see in 2024. Daniel Kales River, good morning.
Hi,
how are you? How are you?
I'm good.
Your thoughts, what's on your mind?
No, Lester, like I said to Walid, I listened to your to you this morning. And, you know, as a country, maybe we've never went over the edge. But I think for most, for people of color, we went over the edge when colonialism got to us.
You're not wrong.
And we hit rock bottom in the late 1980s. Now, and unfortunately, you know, and thanks to the ANC, most people of color and black people still find themselves at the bottom of the abyss. And there's no light. I mean, just this last couple of days when, you know, when Parliament could approve a flippin' flag for $22 million, you ask yourself, how do you apply your minds and have you lost contact or touch with the man in the street? And, you know, when you prepare to spend that amount of money, and that's just a small issue. The bigger thing is the corruption, and it just seems like the ANC find ways of getting projects off the ground that would help them to siphon off money and rob poor black people from getting out of the misery they find themselves in.
The World Bank's Upward Mobility Survey ranks this country as 78th out of 80th, and that means that there are 78 other countries ahead of us, and of course there are more than 80 countries, but we are 78th out of 80th in how difficult it would be to get out of circumstance of intergenerational poverty. That there are 78 countries or 77 other countries ahead of us that makes it easier for, if my working class family today has everything right, that by the next generation or the children after us will have a certain level of upward mobility. In South Africa, we are ranked 78th out of 80th. And I agree with you. And that is intergenerational. It's ingrained, but also having been largely failed by a democratically elected government as well.
Yes, no, Lester, I agree with you. And it's, you know, I'm retired. I've had a good career, and I've been able to, I can look after myself in my age of retirement. And I'm fortunate in that sense and blessed in a way that I was able to get out of it. You know, but for a lot of people, it's dark. It's dark out there. It's darkness. They, you know, every time I have something to eat, I tend to think I've got people knocking on my door 10, 20 times a day, just they want money, they need food and looking for opportunities. And it's tragic to think that the black government that came into power seems to be doing their own people in. I mean, it's ridiculous. You think about the money that was stolen with the pandemic. We think about the bank up north that was, all of that money and stuff were things that could benefit poor people, and you know, it's almost directly stealing from black people. And so where you would have expected the black government to work hard towards the upliftment of black people, you find that there's a few that just enrich themselves and couldn't care two hoots about the poor.
Daniel in Kells River, really appreciate the call. 021-446-0567. The lines are open. No interviews planned. I'd leave it all up to you to state your opinion and to reflect on the last almost 3 hours of show. Message here around cats on leashes. Tim. I see Tim as an international number, so Tim must be either listening from here using his international number or is overseas. I list on the subject of animal training. It's a complete misconception that one cannot train a cat. It is quite different to training dogs in the sense that cats do not respond to any kind of negative reinforcement, but they can be taught to walk on a leash or to follow your finger, sit on command, and stay quite easily. It just takes a little bit of patience and a clicker. But in my experience, my cats really enjoy the stimulation of training and is a great way of strengthening one's bond with a cat. Thus, I like when someone says thus, and thus I hope we are slowly moving towards a world where walking a cat on a leash does not attract stares. Is it you on Seapoint who's walking your cat? And that dog owners are a little more sensitive towards the fact that of seeing cats on leashes at parks. They are not the sole preserve of their fur. Parks are not the sole preserve of their fur babies. I must say, it looks interesting when I see a cat on a leash, and I've seen it a few times on Seapoint Promenade. If you know about the person with the cat on the leash, I know about, and I've bumped into many times, the pig on the leash in Observatory. Please let me know. 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567. We're back with the open line after this.
Cape Talk.
Cape Talk. The open line.
Call 021-446-0567.
Brian Athlone, good morning.
Hello. Is that Lester?
This is Lester.
Lester, I just wanted to make a comment about the ANC's campaign rallies. I mean, you know, with the last election, they were boasting about all this money that they spent on campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they can't even pay their staff.
What did they say? Now, ANC is spending in the last election was something like what was the report? A billion rand?
It was more than a billion, I think it was. And another thing is now it's anybody's guess where that money was coming from. So
well, that is why I would love Cyril Ramaphosa to go before Parliament Scopa Committee.
Yes,
when he said like we only heard what 30 seconds of that NEC meeting where he said that public money was used for ANC campaign events, and just as a gesture of transparency, just explain, please.
Yeah, well, I mean that is also why you don't find any prosecutions really. And another thing is this whole wah about the frontman's 300 million rand wage bill, or what was
whatever it was. You're gonna say that's justified.
Yeah, well, he explained the whole situation, and I mean, it makes a bit of sense. But what I want to say is, you know, we're moaning about...
I'm sorry, what is his 300 million? How does that justify...
Real financial, it's about, he gets out about 28 million or something, which is still a bit outrageous, but anyway... But also compared to what sort of taxes these people pay, you know, I mean, coming out of the mines. There was another issue I just wanted to mention, you know, about, okay, frontmen, they're complaining about it. But did you ever go into the wage bill of this government for the year? With 72 ministers, deputy ministers, deputy ministers, DGs. I mean, it's ridiculous.
There was an interesting.
I mean, if you look at countries like Sweden and Scandinavian countries, I mean, their minister tally is like 8 to 10.
Yeah, no, there was, I think it was John Matham who mentioned, I think about a week ago, in terms of how many senior managers they are in, I think, the Department of Health, and it goes into the level of hundreds. And then said something of, do you know how many there are in France? There's like 12. We have an incredibly, and not only just from the political side, but also from the bureaucratic side and departmental management side. Far too many managers.
Brian,
really appreciate it. Theo Claremont?
Hi, Lester. It's quite interesting. Mark mentions Brown, I think it's a Brown and black intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, you know, you had Trevor Manuel on, and he said, look, he's no longer a member. It'd be interesting to, you know, Chris Nissen and these guys. We had great guys. I think you had Dr. Busak on. To get these guys back and say, why are you still members? Do you still believe? You know, I just saw a link now that says we're Walsh, and Paul Walsh, he's got a question now. Is ANC dead? And then, I mean, largely, and then the African agenda, which one of your callers spoke. I mean, we largely saw spatially, you know, apartheid. I mean, you think Mitchell's Plain. I mean, just a small example of the census. You know, if you want to go count, you know, I mean, look, we can't take away from, we've got Zulus, we've got, if you want to go count Mitchell's Plain, you're not going to, you know, unfortunately, the demographic is like that.
It's very sad so that they even
had But you've got thousands and hundreds of churches in Mitchell's Plain, in communities.
I also don't want to live in a reality where you... I don't also want to live in a South African way that I only want Xhosa speakers to go count in Xhosa areas.
But there's a certain reality on the ground at the moment. How do we move from that? And the ANC has now largely, this African agenda has really that's actually a key point, and we need to talk about that. Kgalema Motlanthe has already, I think, accepted that the ANC is on a downward spiral, and they will soon be no longer in charge. And we've got to decide, we've got to start thinking of a South Africa without the ANC in charge.
And you know who's already thinking about it? Mavusa Msimang. I read an interview with him not too long ago, and he says maybe the best thing for the ANC is to be in opposition. Maybe they can he says you can still fulfill your historical mission, whatever that is, not necessarily in government, but also in the opposition benches of a democratically elected parliament. Theo in Claremont really appreciated